king, whose palate was very dry from thirst,
asked him for water.
Therefore, by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the king, being thirsty, asked the sage for water. That such a great devotee and king asked for water from a sage absorbed in trance was certainly providential. Otherwise, there was no chance of such a unique happening. Maharaj Parikshit was thus placed in an awkward position so that gradually Srimad Bhagavatam could be revealed.
Vipakirna Jatachanam Rauravena Jinincha Vishnusha Talar Udakam Tatabhutam Yachita.
Yes, there's many aspects of this episode that would normally not take place. First of all, how is it that a king, who is the emperor, who has unlimited resources, who has so many thousands and millions of servants and horses and elephants and all these things, how would he not have enough water if he's out? So that's already one thing. Second of all, how is it that he would ask a sage, first of all, for charity? Nobody asks sages for charity. What to speak of a sage? What to speak of a kshatriya? And then what to speak of a sage that is in meditation? Obviously he was in samadhi. But for some reason, Parikshit Maharaj thought he had to ask him for water. Anyway, then, well, we'll see what happens. But these things all lead to the fact that it was providential. That this was meant to be. It was supposed to be like this. This is an indication also that even if a devotee makes a mistake, because although from one point of view Parikshit Maharaj was under the divine protection, the Daivi Shakti, under the protection of the Lord, divine, still, at least from the external social point of view, it was considered a mistake that he would it's not a mistake for him to ask, although it was unusual. There's no harm in asking because he could be thinking this is water from a sage that's purifying, and water offered to the Lord, Chalagram Shila, generally the sages, to keep a small form of the Lord in the form of Chalagram Shila. They, from the Gandika River, there's a special river. And there are these stones, Shila, but they're actually incarnations of Vishnu, and they have different markings on them which indicate that they are bona fide. We don't just worship any stone. You could go find a stone in the park or somewhere, and we don't worship that stone, but we do worship the Shalagram Shila, because it's special, it's an incarnation of the Lord. And there's a whole science to it. You can tell what incarnation it is. Sometimes they're incarnations of Vishnu, sometimes they're incarnations of Nrisimhadev or Ramachandra. by the different markings. One can tell. So these Vishnu forms are easy for the Brahmins or the sannyasis to take with them to worship. They cannot perform the elaborate worship in the temple because they're traveling, but they can have a little form. And it doesn't take too much effort to keep up that deity worship. They offer their food to the deity, Shalagamshu. That way they always have prasadam. Read the next text. Alabdha Trina Bhumyadir Asampraptargya Sunrita Abhagyatam Ivatmanam Manyamanas Chukopaha. The king did not receive by any formal welcome by means of being offered a seat, place, water, and sweet address, considered himself neglected, and so thinking, he became angry.
Purport. The law of reception in the codes of the Vedic principles states that even if an enemy is received at home, he must be received with all respects. He should not be given a chance to understand that he has come into the house of an enemy. When Lord Krishna, accompanied by Arjuna and Bhima, approached Jarasandha in Magadha, the respectable enemies were given a royal reception by King Jarasandha. The guest enemy, namely Bhima, was to fight with Jarasandha, and yet they were given a grand reception. At night they used to sit down together as friends and guests, and in the day they used to fight, risking life and death. That was the law of reception. The reception law enjoins that a poor man who has nothing to offer his guest should be good enough to offer a straw mat for sitting, a glass of water for drinking, and some sweet words. Therefore, to receive a guest, either friend or foe, there is no expense. It is only a question of good manners. When Maharaj Pariksha...
So, the reception... Svagatam. When a guest comes. If he's uninvited, he's called Atiti. Atiti means, Titi means particular time, particular moment. And Atiti means there's no schedule, there's no, it's unannounced, no appointment, just shows up. But still, a proper reception, he's ready. Even if someone is not scheduled to come, or as an unwanted guest, or a titi doesn't mean unwanted guest, it means any guest who comes unannounced. But an unwanted guest, that's another thing. What about if someone comes that we're not very keen to have? Still, there is proper etiquette. They should be received, given the seat, proper. They shouldn't feel like they're an enemy. They should be made to feel that they forget that they're enemies. That's the proper Vedic. Now, one may say, what happens if the person comes who's an enemy, but he's coming to attack? Well, that's a different thing. If he's just coming as a friend, then he should be treated. Of course, if he's coming as an enemy to fight, still the fight is done with proper etiquette. In the case of Jarasandha, the three personalities, namely Krishna, Arjuna, and Bhima, they disguise themselves as Brahmins. They went to Magadha, and they went before Jarasandha, and they said, Krishna did the speaking, he's a good speaker.
And he said, we've heard about your good name, that you're so charitable, that you're such a good kshatriya, that no Brahmin ever goes away empty-handed from you, etc. So, Krishna was appreciated. Yes, that's right. Then Krishna said, so now we have something to beg from you. He said, yes, whatever you like, I'll give you. If you want my head, I'm prepared to give it. And he meant it. He wasn't just speaking that. He had that much faith in the Brahmins that by offering service to the Brahmanas, one makes progress, one gets higher position. Anyway, Krishna said, no, what we want is we want to beg a fight with you. You can choose any one of us, any one of us three to fight with you. So Jarasandha chose Bhima. But he was still he given nice facilities to reside there. And he fed them. But during the day he fought with Bhima and he tried to kill him. Just as Bhima tried to kill him. They were both as powerful as 10,000 elephants. They both had the same strength. That's why after so many days, neither one could defeat the other because they had equal strength. And Bhima finally admitted to Krishna, I can't defeat him. And then Krishna gave the hint how to defeat him. So, he tried his best to defeat him, but at the same time he followed the etiquette. And just like at the Battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna is fighting with Drona. He showed the respect that, yes, I accept you as my teacher. But at the same time, a kshatriya is not supposed to be lenient even on his teacher if he's an enemy. This is not easy, but one has to do his duty. I have some realization of this because sometimes in my past I was in a competition and my father was also in the same tournament, so I ended up having to compete against him. There's nothing more painful than that, because a son naturally wants his father to be victorious in everything. He doesn't want his father to be defeated under any circumstance. But here, in this situation, the son is faced against the father and he has to try his very best to defeat him. If he doesn't, then the father will be displeased with him. The father wants him to try his best to defeat him. And the father will try his best to defeat the son. But it's painful, because somebody has got to lose, and you don't want either one to lose. No one likes to be defeated, and no one likes his father to be defeated. But still he has to perform his duty. So that was... that's some of the harshness of the kshatriya creed. Yeah? Question?
We hear in the scriptures that for practicing Ashtanga Yoga, one has to...
Practicing what?
Ashtanga Yoga or Hatha Yoga. One has to give up sex life completely and go to a secluded place and like that. And Vishamika Rishi, he is considered to be a yogi or a sage, and he's living in a secluded place, but at the same time he's got a son and apparently he's also involved in some kind of social intercourse. So my question is, if he's a mystic yogi and a householder at the same time, what kind of social standing does he have?
Oh, that was after he fell down with Menaka. Then he got Shakuntala as his daughter. But before that, he had no wife. He had 60,000 years. No wife, no woman, no children, nothing.
speaking about Shamika Rishi, the one who should visit the
town. Oh, Shamika. Uh-huh. How did he have a son? Huh. And how was he? Well, Shamika Rishi was not your ordinary mystic yogi. He was a devotee. He may have practiced mystic yoga for some aspects, but he was also a Vaishnava. Because after he came out of his samadhi trance, he spoke to his son and he gave him good advice. He said, oh, what a great sin we've committed. We'll hear about that. So, he was not just a mystic yogi, he was also a devotee of the Lord. Bhakti yogi. Continue.
When Maharaj Parikshit entered the door of Shamika Rishi, he did not expect a royal reception by the Rishi, because he knew that saints and rishis are not materially rich men.
Yeah, Chanakya Pandit, he nicely puts it. He says, what kind of a Shraddha ceremony will you get from the Brahmins in the forest, the sages? What kind of fight will you get from two goats? You get no fight. They're not great fighters. They make some sounds as if they're really going to make a big fight, but as soon as someone claps their hands, they run away. It's not like bulls. Bulls, when they get involved in a fight, then it's serious. You know, nothing stops them. And similarly, the fight between husband and wife is considered to be on that level, not very serious. And the big Shraddha ceremony, the big festival in the forest, what is it going to be? Few leaves, a few leafy preparations, that's all. Because they have no opulence, they don't have any money. So they're not taken very seriously. Don't expect too much. So the point is, someone's living in the forest, what kind of a reception can you expect? He doesn't have any money, no servants, doesn't have all these opulences. We're reading about the opulence of reception. When Lord Ramachandra, when he came back to Ayodhya, this was after 14-year exile. As you know, his father asked him to go for 14 years. Well, his mother-in-law, or stepmother. So when he came back, Bharata Maharaj, who had been staying at Nandigram, not Nandagram, Nandagram is in Vrindavan. But Nandigram, named after Lord Shiva, or after his bull. So he was staying in a place called Nandigram. And he was performing severe austerities, the brother Bharat Maharaj. He was supposed to be ruling, and he was ruling, but actually he wasn't ruling directly. He had taken the shoes of Lord Ramachandra and placed them on the throne. So that while the Lord was away, his shoes would be ruling the kingdom. But still he was there, Bharat, in case anyone didn't respect the shoes of Lord Ramachandra, he would enforce them as his assistant. Anyway, he was performing severe austerities, but when Lord Ramachandra came back, he heard and he came from Nandigram. And all the citizens, everyone, all the brahmanas and the chatras, all groups, everyone gave a reception to Lord Ramachandra when he came. And they made big gates, they erected big gates for reception. It's like those of you who have been to India, you know, that this idea of offerings, like when we have the arrangement, the festival on the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The deity of Bhakti Siddhanta starts at one temple and then on procession it goes, and then they stop in front of the next temple, and all the devotees come out from that temple and they make offerings, arti and different things, lamps, incense, dupa, dipa, tambula. Tambula means betel nuts, or betel leaves, actually, is the technical. So they offer betel leaf, betel nuts to the Lord. This is part of the offering. And the Lord enjoys it. It gives a fresh taste to the mouth, and it's invigorating. It's like a tonic. Of course, it's offered to the Lord, but the prasadam of Vaishnava doesn't take. The comparison is, he doesn't accept the betel nut prasadam because it's an intoxicant. It has an intoxicating effect. So he doesn't take it. He accepts. If someone says, but it's prasadam. Yes, but it's like the prasadam of grains on Ekadashi. A Vaishnava doesn't take grains, even though it's prasadam. So similarly, Vaishnava doesn't accept the betel nut. Yes, question over there. The intoxicant, it's been compared to something like nicotine or in cigarettes or tobacco. It gives some stimulant. Yes?
A question from Manchester, UK. What makes one love Krishna?
Well, nothing can force one to love Krishna. There's no automatic. What allows one, I think, would be a better way of putting it. What allows one to love Krishna? It's Krishna's mercy. It's only by the grace of Krishna. But then, it's not only the grace of Krishna. Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Peach. Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada Yasya Prasada Nikatikatopi. So, by the mercy of Krishna, one gets the association of a pure devotee. And the pure devotee, his kindness, it is by his mercy that one can love Krishna. Otherwise, because loving Krishna means, first of all, you have to get his blessing. How will you get the blessing of Krishna? Well, you have to get the blessing of the devotee. If the devotee is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. If Krishna is pleased, then you can develop love for him. Love for him is such a special thing. He doesn't give it to anyone. Prema. It is said that Lord Krishna gives easily liberation. He awards that quite easily. Liberation, take it. But he doesn't give love for himself so easily, because by love, he's bound up. He's obliged. So if someone has love for him, then Krishna becomes obliged. So he wants to make sure that this is just like an intelligent person doesn't enter into a marriage agreement very easily. He thinks about it very carefully. He wants to be sure, because it's a very intimate commitment of perpetual mutual service. Yes, question.
But isn't it the natural propensity of the soul that he misused his free will, but it's a natural propensity it's a natural attraction. It's already there. To love Krishna, is it?
Yes, it's natural. But it's not natural here in the material world. Because everybody here in the material world is diseased. Like if you go to a hospital, not natural to find people in good health. You go one room after the next and you see, you know, this one's they're all a mess. They've all got something wrong with them. That's why they're there. So everybody in the material world's got something wrong. And what is that one common malady?
Envy.
Yes, they're forgetful of Krishna. Envious of Krishna. So in order to get back to where we once belong, we have to get the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna together. Therefore it said, Prabhupada wrote me this in my initiation letter. He said this verse. What's that verse? One who has implicit faith. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tathagaro tasya ite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmana. One who has implicit faith in both Guru and Krishna, to him all the imports of the Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Okay, continue with the purport.
But he never expected that a seat of straw, a glass of water, and some sweet words would be denied to him. He was not an ordinary guest, nor was he an enemy of the Rishi. And therefore the cold reception by the Rishi astonished the king greatly. As a matter of fact, the king was right to get angry with the Rishi when he needed a glass of water very badly. To become angry in such a grave situation was not unnatural for the king. But because the king himself was not less than a great saint, his becoming angry and taking action were astonishing.
That's an important point. On one hand, there was no harm in him being a little irritated. He was the king. All he wanted is a little water. Not too much to ask. But because he was a saint, therefore he's not supposed to get upset. So, in other words, there's different standards. What may be acceptable behavior for an ordinary person is not always acceptable for a Vaishnava or a saintly person. Vaishnava is supposed to mean saintly person. He's supposed to behave in an exemplary way in all circumstances.
So it must be accepted that it was so ordained by the supreme will of the Lord. The king was a great devotee of the Lord, and the saint was also as good as the king. But by the will of the Lord, the circumstances were so created that they became ways to the king's becoming unattached to family connection and governmental activities, and thus becoming a completely surrendered soul unto the lotus feet of the Lord, Krishna.
There it says that Kshamakrishi was no less than the king, so he was also a devotee. Two devotees. And it was just a misunderstanding. Kshamakrishi was in trance. He really wasn't ignoring Maharaj Parikshit. He didn't know he was there. He was absorbed. He was absorbed in his trance, samadhi, trance, meditating upon the Lord. Just like there may be a devotee, and he's absorbed in chanting his japa. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Somebody may come in, and he's absorbed, he's chanting, and they may stand there, and they may be waiting for some kind of a reception. We've seen this. We've even had this happen sometimes. And you're chanting, and the person standing there waiting for some reception that you acknowledge there, and the person's just chanting. Now the person may leave thinking, oh, he didn't even receive me, didn't even recognize my existence. But that's not an insult. It's just that he was absorbed in doing his chanting. Sometimes they criticize. I recently heard. They were criticizing the devotees that they didn't take care of some guests. But maybe they were absorbed in their service. So why should they be criticized? Of course, they should receive guests. But if they're so absorbed in their service that they don't recognize, then that has to be also taken into consideration. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.